Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening. You can listen to American Family Radio anywhere in the world on the internet at afr.net, afr.net. We also have podcasts of our shows. We archive them. So if you want to go back and listen to an interview we did in the past, you can do that. And as Ray said earlier, the apps that are available for your cell phones and other electronic devices like iPads, so that you can listen anywhere you go to American Family Radio on your iPad or iPhone or Android. So just no excuse, people, for not listening to American Family Radio 24/7. I mean, you can sleep if you want to for a few hours, but why
would you when you could listen to AFR around the world 24/7, right?
Exactly.
There's no excuse, right?
I mean, maybe eat and sleep. Rest time, you should be listening to American Family Radio.
But you can listen to us while you eat if you want to. That's how available we are.
Exactly. Hey, I was reading a good news story. I was reading off the Fox News website. Evidently, Tim Tebow, the famous football player, helped a family. Guy was having a heart attack or something on an airplane. Yeah, did you see this?
I did see that. And came up and saw that the man was in distress. And, of course, they were, you know, the flight attendants were giving him what aid they could. But he stayed there and comforted him and prayed with the family during the crisis. I mean, got up out of his seat when he saw the need. So Tim's an amazing guy. I mean, Tim Tebow is an amazing. What I don't know if we have anybody who's a better
example, role model,
better role model, especially for young people. Than Tim Tebow, a truly, truly great guy.
You know what I like about him, Tim Tebow? He hasn't been able to make it in the NFL, right?
Right.
Now, I know some of my brethren have a conspiracy theory that it's because he's so open about his Christian faith. I don't think that's true. It's that he's not a good enough passer.
Right. He was perfect in the Florida offense. It was designed for him, right? I mean, he excelled in that offense, but they don't run that kind of offense in the NFL.
Right. So he's just not good enough passer in the NFL. I mean, several teams have given him a chance to make it. Now, personally, I think if he had changed positions to play tight end, for example, he'd have been an all-pro, but he didn't want to do that. That was his decision. He wanted to try to make it as a quarterback. But here's what I like about him. He doesn't whine or complain about it.
Right.
You know, he just says every time a team's given him an opportunity to make the team, he's been grateful. And so he's never said, oh, you know, they're not being fair to me, or, you know, I'm better than this guy or anything like that. It's just been – he's been a class act about the whole situation. So – and I see him on the – ESPN and stuff. He's still around college football a lot, for example. But
and a truly, just a great guy. Look, you know, we see these celebrity athletes who claim to be Christian, and often we're disappointed. But you get the feeling with Tim. I mean, I think it's just obvious what he believes. He's the real deal, right?
I mean,
it's just what you see is what you get. Hey, Tim, I wanted to ask you for your comments. We had two sports figures pass overnight. Pat Summitt, who was the beloved coach of the Lady Volunteers, the University of Tennessee, and then a man, Buddy Ryan, who was architect of maybe the greatest defense in the history of the NFL. Just wanted to get your comments on those two.
Well, like you, I'm a sports fan. Follow the Pat Summitt was the she's legendary. Head basketball coach for the Lady Vols, Tennessee, and she was kind of like John Wooden of UCLA. I mean, I don't know how many national championships they won under her.
Eight national championships.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Eight national championships Pat Summitt, the Lady Volunteers at Tennessee, as I say, legendary Hall of Famer. She was in her mid-60s when she got Alzheimer's.
64. She was 64.
Oh, when she died? She died yesterday?
Yeah, and overnight, yeah.
Have you ever heard of anybody getting Alzheimer's that young?
Early onset Alzheimer's, that's tough.
I mean, like, what age was she when they diagnosed her?
I think about it, she must have been 59 maybe, so about 5 years ago.
I don't know that I've ever heard of somebody that young getting Alzheimer's.
It's just, it's shocking and sad. But she left behind a great legacy.
Yes, she did.
84% of her games.
Right.
1,098 victories. There's nobody else even close. She's the all-time winningest coach in college basketball, period, men or women.
Well, coach from the Connecticut women will catch her one day if he stays.
Gino Auriemma, yeah, if he keeps coaching.
If he keeps coaching, he'll probably – but yeah, just an amazing coach, Pat Summitt, the ladies' volleyball coach. The other fellow the other guy who passed away was Buddy Ryan.
Buddy Ryan, yeah.
82 years old. I saw a special on him the other day when he coached with the Chicago Bears in the mid-80s. Remember the Super Bowl Shuffle, Jim McMahon, Walter Payton, all those guys? He was the defensive coach on that team, which was one of the best defenses in the history of the NFL. But Buddy Ryan passes away. His son's Rex Ryan, who coaches for Buffalo Bills. But it was kind of interesting. I was watching a special, as I say, and it just – the we're all – if you live long enough, you're going to your health's going to go downhill.
That's right. That's just a fact.
I hate to say it like that, but what I saw was it was showing him, Buddy Ryan, from the mid-80s and what a strong personality he was as a coach and how – you know, he accomplished all these things. He was sharp-minded and had a sharp mind and everything like that. And then, but they're interviewing him. He's in a wheelchair, and he's like 80 years old, and he's, you know, doesn't really recognize everybody all the time. It's just, I don't know. It just reminded me of how mortal all are.
As Charles Barkley said, Father Time is undefeated.
That's a good point. Charles Barkley said that?
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty profound for Barkley.
And he's right. Father Time is undefeated.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That only confirms what the Bible says, that, you know, none of us are going to live forever here on this earth. One day we all die and... what then?
Better get ready because that day's coming for all of us.
That's the question the Bible answers, is what then? And the Bible says if you trust and believe on Jesus Christ as your Savior from your sin and your Lord of your life, that you will go to heaven with Him after you die. If you reject Christ, the Bible says you go to hell. Those aren't something I made up. That's what the Bible teaches. So choose ye today life, the Bible says. So believe and trust in Jesus Christ, and that's the way to have life abundant and life eternal. All right, we want to move on now and welcome our next guest, Stacy Farrell. Well, Stacy, good morning to you. Good afternoon, rather, I guess, depending on where you live here.
Well, it's still morning here, and I am absolutely delighted to join you today.
Where are you?
I'm in Chicagoland area.
Okay. Well, that's where Ray's from, my co-host, Ray.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Well, Stacy, welcome to American Family Radio. We know a little bit about you because of your work in the homeschooling movement. And so tell us about how you got into homeschooling, because I know it wasn't necessarily what you were planning, but then God intervened. So tell us your story.
Well, actually, my husband and I were going to be starving artists that hoped to have the great breakthrough. My husband's a composer, and I am a writer. And we really thought that pursuing our dreams as artists were like the be-all and the end-all. Then, 5 years into our marriage, surprise, surprise, I was pregnant. And this became an incredible paradigm shift. Actually, it was just such a gift from the Lord. I was raised in a household that was extremely lost. I didn't come to faith until I was 30 years old. And I had really bought into the whole lie that you realize your potential by pursuing your dreams. What I discovered in becoming a parent is that the servant is the greatest, that we are really here to love and to love hard. And when we're placed in a family, there is such an intimate opportunity for day-to-day, where the rubber meets the road kind of love. Was kind of a shock to me when my husband suggested that we homeschool. I had never even heard of homeschooling, and I actually still was kind of in the mindset that when my kids were of school age, then I would regain time to myself. And when he suggested homeschooling, I thought, well, you know, I'm a researcher by nature. I'll investigate it. And what I discovered is that when you homeschool, you get an education. We start out thinking that we're homeschooling to educate our children, and in reality what happens is a whole world of learning opens up to the whole family. And so that was the paradigm shift for me. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
Well, that is a wonderful answer, and I want to mention also that you have founded Homeschool Adventure Company to provide materials for homeschoolers, well, in America, but also ultimately around the world, because they can access your material through the internet, and there's a number of good resources there. But you've got a brand new one called I'd Rather Be Your Mommy. Tell us about that.
Well, this is actually a departure from the homeschool resources. This is a little children's book. It kind of takes me back. I had kind of bought into that whole 90s woman, career woman, really just the whole perspective that I would find my fulfillment by actualizing my potential, whatever that might mean. And what I really discovered is that there really is nothing more satisfying and more profound than the privilege of being a mother. And, you know, as I say that, I realize that there are some women who would love to be mothers, and biologically it's just not happening for them. But the thing that I would say to them is this world is hurting for the touch of a mother. And even if you don't have, and this goes really for all of us, not just women who haven't had children yet, the nurture that a mother provides can be given to all children, not just our own individual children. This particular book, though, is designed to be a bedtime story. The pace of life is just overwhelming. And with our very best intentions, we can just be swept away into things that, as my friend Christy says, things that beep and blink and make noise that really drowns out relationships. And the vision for this little book just repeats the refrain, there's nothing I'd rather be than your mommy. If I had the opportunity to climb a mountain or go to Mars or be the president, there's nothing that I would rather be than your mommy, because I love you and you're precious to me. And my desire is that moms everywhere just carve out 10, 15 minutes every night at the end of the day to read this story and just pause and look into their child's eyes and just, you know, we are all busy and we can't be present, fully present and fully attentive so much of the day because there are just other demands on us. But we can pause at the end of the day and just affirm to our little ones, I love you and I choose to be your mom. I may be busy, I may be on the computer, I may be running errands, I may have to work, but still you are precious to me. And so that's my vision for this.
It's a great book for children. It's a great children. I mean, it's very, very well done, and it communicates a love for a mother to her child. You can read it night after night after night with the visuals in here. The child probably never get tired of reading it. Where do people contact you or get a copy of this? It's called I'd Rather Be Your Mommy.
Right now, homeschooladventure.com is our website, and right now we have created a special offer that will just be available for a short time. We're having a little bit of difficulty with our website, but you should, if you go to the landing page, the home page, there's a graphic that is called the Mommy Revolution. And if you click on that, that'll take you to the special offer that we have. And the book is also listed in our store.
Okay. Well, listen, Stacy, thanks for being our guest. We appreciate it very much and wish you the best.
Thank you so much. It was a privilege to speak with you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, I'm Tim Wildman with Dr. Ray Pritchard, who is our guest today. Ray, where did you live in the Chicago area?
I lived on the west side of Chicago. In fact, if you started in downtown Chicago and came out Chicago Avenue, the first suburb that you would come to after you went through the west side was Oak Park. So an inner ring suburb, like most big cities, Chicago had a ton, a couple of 150 or some big and small suburbs, and we were right up against the west side of the city.
Hey, what do you think about this dynamic that exists between Hillary Clinton supporters and Bernie Sanders supporters? They're both Democrats. Obviously,
right.
Hillary Clinton beat Sanders for the Democrat nomination, but just, 60-40 or whatever it was, 55-45, it wasn't a trouncing necessarily. And you have Sanders supporters who are completely against the establishment. They can't stand Wall Street. They don't like politicians being bought off by major corporations and or countries. And Hillary Clinton except she's a Democrat, she represents everything they're opposed to.
Right. She's in a tough place because on one hand, she could move to the left to try to pick up Bernie supporters. But if she does that, she loses the center. You lose the center, you lose the election.
Right.
And Donald Trump's been very smart about this. It's one thing I give him all the credit for. He has been making an outward play for the Bernie Sanders supporter, saying, look, you're disgusted with business as usual, so am I. So at least on some things we can agree. And that's put Hillary in a bind because she can't go too far left to pick up Bernie. Then she loses the middle. Right now, I think, if I had to guess, I think there are millions of Sanders supporters, because a lot of them are young people, college age and, into the 20s, early 30s. A lot of them are not going to be easy converts to Hillary's camp. If I had to guess, I would guess a lot of Bernie supporters are just going to vanish away, i.e. they're just not going to show up and vote. Because this was, he's out and out avowed Democrat socialist, right?
Right.
And Hillary is the Democrat establishment that Bernie was railing against.
Yes.
It's really, I think Hillary's in a bad place.
So a lot of his supporters may stay home.
That's exactly right.
Which could hurt her.
Well, she needs every single one of those Sanders supporters when, right. When we get into the fall campaign. I think a lot of them are just going to disappear. They're just going to be gone because it's hard to transfer your, if you really were into Bernie, right? If you were, if you were feeling the burn, Hillary is a pale substitute for Bernie Sanders. So what does she do? And then Trump is over there trying to pick off a few Sanders votes for himself, and he'll probably get a few.
Yeah. Well, we're a long way from November, but we're not.
No. Oh, no.
Think about it.
We're less than 3 weeks from the beginning of the Republican. 3 weeks from now, the Republican convention will be underway, and the Democrats come, pretty quick after that.
Right. And then we're going to have the debates,
That's right.
In the fall. I don't know when the first debate is between. What do you think that's going
to? I don't think they've set that yet. I think they'll set that later this summer, because that's always a matter for negotiation.
You think she'll debate him?
I think she'll have to. I think don't you think the pressure is too great? Can a major party candidate refuse to debate today in today's world?
Well, maybe I'm just thinking if I'm Hillary Clinton, of course.
Should she? No, she should not get on the stage with Trump. She should not.
Right. Right. Because I don't know what all she has to gain from that. Maybe except she thinks maybe she would make him look bad if she got on there and she were presidential and he were unhinged. You know what I'm saying?
That's always a possibility that Donald will go off, right?
Right.
It's always a possibility.
But if he gets up there and brings some good points in a debate, especially about her weaknesses, it could hurt her.
That speech he gave last week,
right,
which was, that was he stuck to the teleprompter, stuck right. to the script. That was a good speech. That was a classic red meat attack speech.
Right.
If he sticks to that in the debate, he'll win, and she will not be able to.
I'm gonna frame the election as it is right now, without. Just because I say what I'm about to say doesn't mean I believe it all, okay? I'm just going to tell you how it's going to be framed with the general public. It's going to be Hillary the crook, which
right.
Hillary, our country's for sale, Clinton,
right,
versus Donald crazy man Trump.
That's right.
Am I right? That's how it's going to be.
Take your pick, people.
Huh? Right. That sounds like a professional wrestling match.
Yes, it does. SummerSlam 105 or something like that.
A pay-per-view.
That's right.
Right there. But
that's exactly how it's going to be framed.
Yep.
Exactly.
So that's how it's going to be framed. And Trump has, he has his work cut out now to,
right.
You don't want to lose your edge as a tough guy, speak your mind guy.
You can't.
But you don't want to, but the American public does not want somebody who's volatile.
That's right.
In the White House, but they also don't want somebody that's a crook.
They don't want a crook.
They don't want a crook in the White House either. So it's going to be up to the candidate.
The crook or the crazy guys, right? So
it's going to be up to the candidates to frame the issues and reshape their image.
That's
because
exactly
right now the images are as I've just described them.
And the one who does the best is going to win
right.
the election.
Right, exactly. All right, Ray, thanks for being on with me today.
Thanks, Tim.
And, folks, we appreciate you listening to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Keep listening to AFR. We've got the Bible teaching program of Dr. Alistair Begg, and then the news, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care, everybody.